hard to believe that it's been 10 years since September 11th, 2001. For many of us, we remember it like it was just a couple weeks ago. For many of us, it's one of those events in life where you remember where you were when you first heard the news. You remember the television that you first saw the images of what was happening. And as we have gone through this morning, today, I have tried to keep in my mind some of these times as you go back and look at what transpired on that day, some of these times when the first one of those planes took off at 7:59 a.m. The flight that I want to talk about in just a minute was United Flight 93. That backed away from the gate there at Newark at 8:01 a.m., only to sit on the tarmac for 40 minutes. Not too long after that, it took off at 8:42, carrying about 45 passengers on its way to San Francisco. At 8:46, 4 minutes after that flight took off, that first plane flew in to the North Tower. About 16 minutes later at 9:02, that second plane flew into the South Tower. As you were on your way to Bible class this morning, it had been 10 years since that first plane hit. As we were beginning our Bible classes this morning, it had been 10 years since that second plane had hit. Shortly after 9:15 a.m. on that morning, they began to get news that United Flight 93 was no longer responding to radio transmissions. And at 9:35 a.m., somewhere near Cleveland, Ohio, United Flight 93 made a sharp U-turn headed back in the direction of Washington, D.C. At 9:45, when we were finishing our Bible classes this morning, at 9:45 a.m., just a few minutes after that third plane had flown into the Pentagon, 9:45 a.m., a man by the name of Todd Beamer, on board Flight 93, picked up one of those phones that's there on the airplane and called the Verizon supervisor that he could get on the line. And they talked for about 13 minutes, Todd Beamer, to this lady on the phone. He told the lady what was happening. He told the lady that the two pilots had been forced out of the cockpit and were laying on the floor up in first class. The two hijackers had locked themselves in the cockpit. That there were 27 passengers who were huddled together up in first class. There were 10 passengers at the back of the plane with 5 flight attendants with them. And he told the lady that there was one hijacker, terrorist, guarding those who were at the front of the plane, and there was one at the back of the plane who said that he had a bomb strapped to himself with a red cloth. Todd Beamer talked to this lady about a variety of things. But as they went through this conversation, you could begin to see how Todd Beamer was evaluating the situation that they were in. How he was evaluating that this news was coming in through all of these other phone conversations that other people on the plane were having. They had learned, the people on Flight 93. They had learned that there were those other planes who had crashed already. That there were other planes that had been hijacked and had already crashed into the North Tower, the South Tower, and even now the Pentagon. They evaluated their situation and realized that they as well had been hijacked, and there they were, innocent people on the plane, and there were millions of innocent people on the ground. But they were not satisfied to do nothing. They were not satisfied to sit by and again be mere spectators to the things that were transpiring. As Todd Beamer and those who were with him began to evaluate their situation, they formulated a plan. They formulated a strategy that said, we're not going to go down without a fight. We're not going to go down without taking some kind of action. And so he told the Verizon supervisor on the phone somewhere around 9:45. He told her, we're going to jump this guy at the back of the plane who's got this bomb, supposed bomb, strapped to him. We're going to go up and we're going to storm through him. We're going to take over. We're going to go into the cockpit. We're going to take this plane back. Evaluated the situation. Formulated a strategy. For some people on that plane, they may have already gone through those first two steps, but they were still sitting. They may have already evaluated, this is a bad situation. They may have already formulated some kind of strategy, but were taking no action. Todd Beamer was not one who would evaluate and formulate, but not then actuate that strategy. To take those plans that they had put together and say, we are going to do something. And so around 9:47 a.m., Todd Beamer asked the supervisor on the phone to pray with him. And after they prayed together, it sounded like he dropped the phone. And he said something to the effect, God, help me. Jesus, help me. He said to those who were around him, are you guys ready? And you know the next two words that he said. The next two words that he said have become the motto of our response to 9/11. The next two words that he said, overheard by a Verizon supervisor on the phone, have rung out through this nation to say, we're not ones who simply evaluate and then formulate and then sit there. We are ones who evaluate and we formulate, but then we actuate. We're going to do something. He said, are you guys ready? Let's roll. They weren't going to just sit by. They were not going to just sit there and allow things to transpire around them without doing everything in their capacity to save themselves and to save those other innocent people that might be hurt. Get your Bibles and look in Acts chapter 9. Because in Acts chapter 9, we have another let's roll story. In Acts chapter 9, we've got another individual who was faced with a situation, who had to come up with a strategy, but who did not decide to sit idly by and to do nothing. In Acts chapter 9, we are introduced to a man by the name of Ananias. And in Acts chapter 9, Ananias is approached by the Lord. And I want you to see what the Lord says to him. Do you think this would have got your attention if the Lord had come to you and said this? First, he calls him in verse 10. He says, Ananias. And he said, here am I, Lord. Same thing that Samuel said. Same thing that Isaiah said. Here's Ananias. When God's calling, Ananias said, I'm here, Lord. What do you need? I'm ready to go. And so God begins to lay out the situation for Ananias. He says, arise and go to the street called Straight. Okay, I can do that. And inquire at the house of Judas. All right, I think I can find that. For one called Saul of Tarsus. Lord, I think I've heard of that guy. For behold, he's praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named, don't say Ananias, God. In a vision, he's seen a man named, God say anybody else's name. Except at, in a vision, he's seen a man named Ananias. Oh, I knew you were going to say that. Coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Ananias answered. He's evaluating. Ananias answered in verse 13. He said, Lord, I have heard from many about this man. How much harm he has done to the saints. Ananias looks at the situation. He knows that Saul of Tarsus, verse 14, is coming to town. That he's coming to town with authority to bind all of those who are of the way. Ananias says, in effect, Lord, are you sure? Lord, Saul of Tarsus, are we talking about the same guy? Are you thinking what I'm thinking? This is Saul of Tarsus, the guy who's killed all of these Christians. He's seen in a vision a man named who? Ananias who, God? You know, there's a lot of Ananiases, God. You know, maybe it's a different Ananias. You want me to go tell another Ananias something? He's evaluated the situation. He's reported back to God what he has heard God say. By the way, husbands, that's a good practice. When your wife says something, it's a good practice to say, here's what I am hearing you say. Don't get yourself in trouble without need for getting yourself in trouble. Here's what I am hearing you say. That's what Ananias is doing. I don't know that he's arguing with God. I think he's just saying, God, let's be clear about this because this could get me in a lot of trouble. I want to make sure he's evaluating the situation. Are you sure, God? God responds in verse 15 with the same word that he used back in verse 11. God says unto Ananias, go. Okay, God. You see, he had evaluated the situation, but now he's ready to formulate his strategy. Because God said it once, that was enough already. When God says it once, that's all I need. But now God has said it again. God said in verse 11, arise and go. He said in verse 15, Ananias, go. Ananias said, who am I? In effect, who am I not to do what God has said to do? Ananias evaluated the situation, formulated the strategy, but, you know, he could have just sat there. He could have said, God, you are right. You are right. My name is Ananias, and yes, I need to go to him. You know, Lord, let me wait for a convenient season. Felix is going to say that a little later on in this book. You know, Lord, now's not a really good time, you know. Jeopardy's coming on, and you know, there's this guy who's been winning lots of money. I want to see how he does. You know, let me wait until tomorrow. He could have just sat there. You know, on flight 93, apparently there were some others who, out of fear, were just sitting there. They had been intimidated, just like Saul had intimidated Christians. They had been told, you could overhear these recordings on the cockpit recordings, that they had been told, we have a bomb, we're going back to the airport to have our demands met. You sit down, you be quiet, and you'll be okay. They were told that. And so out of intimidation, they sat down, they were quiet, they didn't move. But Todd wasn't willing to do that. He wasn't willing to just sit. Ananias was not willing to just sit. He knew the situation. He knew what needed to be done. And then Ananias got up. Look at what verse 17 says. After God said once, arise and go in verse 11. After God said twice in verse 15 to go, verse 17 says, Ananias got up and he went. He went his way. Look in chapter 22. Hold your finger in Acts chapter 9. Flip over to Acts chapter 22. In Acts chapter 22, you have Saul of Tarsus, now called Paul. You have Paul recounting this event in Acts chapter 22, telling this story all over again for the benefit of his hearers. And in Acts chapter 22, in verse 14, here's what Saul says happened. He says that a certain man, Ananias, verse 12, he was a devout man. He came to Saul in verse 13. He said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And then he said in verse 14, Ananias says to Saul, verse 14, the God of our fathers has chosen you. Saul, God has chosen you. God has chosen you that you should know his will, that you should see the just one, that you should hear the voice of his mouth. Think about those three things. That you would know his will, see him, hear his voice, for you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now, verse 16, Saul, here's the message from God. You need to arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Jesus, the Lord, came to Ananias, and he said to Ananias, arise and go. Ananias evaluated, formulated, actuated. He went. He gets to Saul, and he says to Saul, Saul, you have been chosen. Arise and be baptized. In effect, God said to Ananias, buddy, let's roll. We've got somebody that needs the gospel. Let's go. When Ananias got to Saul, he taught him the gospel. And in effect, he said, sir, let's roll. You know what you need to do. Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. I want us to take this account from Acts chapter 9 and look at two things this morning. I want us to look at the fact that God has said unto us that we need to arise and be baptized. That was not just a message given from one man to another man, never to be repeated again. Ananias came to Saul and he said, why are you waiting? Saul had seen the Lord 3 days before this. The Lord had told him to go into the city, and there he would be told what he must do, Acts 9 and verse 6. He's there in the city praying for 3 days, Acts chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. Ananias comes to him, and he says, sir, you need to be baptized. Why did he need to be baptized? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. He needed to evaluate his situation. This morning, if you are here and you have never been baptized for the remission of your sins, this morning, if you are here and you are accountable to God for your life and your actions, if you are here today, you need to evaluate your situation. Because sin is that which will lead us and guide us and then separate us from God Almighty. And the only way for that sin to be taken out of the way is for the blood of Jesus to wash away those sins. When? When we're baptized. If you have not been baptized, Ananias said to Saul, you haven't been baptized. You still have your sins. You're still separated from God. You are still not saved in the eyes of God. Is that you this morning? Are you saved or not? The Bible says that the only way to be saved is to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. The Bible says to be saved, you must repent. You must turn away from sinful living and make up your mind that you're going to do something about it. The Bible says that God has done His part. He gave Jesus to die upon the cross, and now He's left it up to you. Where are you today? You see, on that plane, those passengers, it wasn't very hard to evaluate their situation. We're in trouble. If you're living in sin today, it's not hard to evaluate your situation. You're in trouble. You're in eternal trouble. Because the Bible says that life is but a vapor that appears for a while and then vanishes away. We have no idea when this life will come to an end. Those people who boarded that plane at 7:59 a.m., that first flight. Those people who boarded flight 93 and it backed away from the gate at 8:01 a.m. Do you suppose they had any inkling of an idea that their life was going to end in less than 2 hours? They backed away from that gate at 8:01. That plane crashed into the ground sometime around 10:03 a.m. 2 hours later, they were dead. Folks, we need to evaluate seriously and honestly our situation. And after you have evaluated your situation, formulate a strategy. What are you going to do? It's not a mystery. God doesn't make it a mystery telling us what we need to do in order to be saved. When He says, arise and be baptized, we need to understand that that needs to be done with urgency. That's why Ananias said, why are you waiting? That's why in Acts chapter 8, the man who was traveling along in the chariot said, look, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? This is something I need to do right now. That's why 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 says that today, not tomorrow, not a convenient season, not next Sunday, not the Sunday after that, not when my family is in town, not when the holidays are. Today is the day of salvation. If you have not been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, will you not right now say to yourself, today I am going to repent. Today I am going to be baptized. You know, there's some people who have evaluated. There's some people who have then formulated, but then have done nothing. They've looked at where they are. They've evaluated their situation. And they know what they need to do, but they've never done it. That's why those on that plane then went and actuated. They put it into action. They weren't satisfied just evaluating and formulating. They said, we've got to do something. This morning, why don't you make up your mind that when the invitation song is sung, that you'll come down these aisles and be baptized? And let me make a promise to you. And it's up to the brethren and the members of this congregation to fulfill this promise. I'll make a promise to you that if you start down the aisle this morning to be baptized, you won't come by yourself. I promise you somebody's going to step out and come down with you. I don't know who. But I promise you, you will not respond alone. One of the loneliest walks that somebody can make is down a church aisle all by themselves. Why don't you make up your mind today that when the time comes for this invitation song to be sung, you're not just going to evaluate, you've already done that. You're not just going to formulate, God's already helped you with that. That you're going to actuate. That you're going to make up your mind that this is the day that you are going to be baptized. If you've not been baptized, I want you to think about that for the next couple minutes. Because the second thing I want us to see from Acts chapter 9 is that when God looks at Ananias, God says, arise and go. He wasn't saying that to a non-Christian. He was saying that to a Christian. And so to every Christian who is in here this morning, God says to us, arise and go. It's not hard for us to evaluate the situation we are in today. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19 says that the whole world, every bit of it, lies under sway of the wicked one. The whole world, some translations say, it's in the whole world's in the power of or in the control of the devil. It's not hard to evaluate our situation. Here they were on flight 93. Who's in charge? Who's in control? The enemy. They're at the controls of the plane. It wasn't hard for them to evaluate. It's not hard for us to say, here's the world, and the world is under the sway of the wicked one today. What part of the world? Every bit of it. The whole world. So what has God told me to do? God's told me that I've got a charge to go into where? The whole world that's under the sway of the wicked one, and to bring them to God. It's not hard for us to evaluate, but can we not formulate this morning a strategy? If you're a Christian this morning, are there not contacts that you can identify? People that you know. People that you know who are lost. If you were to write down a list of those who know, you know who are lost, how long would that list be? There are all sorts of ways that we can go about reaching them. But the first thing we've got to do is identify who they are. That's not hard to do. And I would challenge you to identify your top two. You know, we say go into all the world, and we see that as a huge task, and it's so big I can't do it. How about you just identify your top two that you need to talk to, that you need to go to? About 2 weeks from now, maybe 3 weeks, but about 2 weeks from now, we're going to have some special invitations for you to take and to give to two individuals, two families, that you want to come to our lectureship, which is November 3rd through 6th. Our lectureship this year, the theme of it is Heaven's Home Improvement Workshop. We're coming together, and in a very practical way this year, we are offering tools, biblical tools, to build and improve our homes. We are using our lectureship this year not only as an opportunity for brethren from this area to get together, but we're using our lectureship this year specifically to reach out to those who are lost. There will be a variety of invitations for us to use, but there are only going to be about 1,000 special invitations made available, about 2 per member. Who are the top 2 people that you know need to be at a thing called Heaven's Home Improvement Workshop? 2 or 3 weeks from today, we'll have those ready for you to take and to give to them. It's not hard to identify. Will you formulate today and say, I will identify contacts, and then I will initiate conversation? It's not enough just to say, yes, they need it. I've got to make up my mind. I'm going to go and I'm going to say something. And then impart unto them not your thoughts, not your opinions, not even your testimony. Impart unto them chapter and verse. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The Bible says that God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible says that there's a day appointed which will all be judged. The Bible says that we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and will receive the things done in the body. The Bible says that there is a place called heaven and there's a place called hell. You can do that. It's easy to evaluate. It takes effort to formulate. I will identify my contacts. I will initiate conversation with them. And when I do that, I will impart chapter and verse. But too many people stop right there. Yes, I know. Yes, this is what I should do. But then they go no further. It is believed that if Todd Beamer and those individuals aboard Flight 93... It is believed that if they did not do what they did, if they had stopped at evaluation and formulation, did not go on to actuate, it is believed that if they had stopped there, that that plane was coming to the Capitol building or the White House to kill even more innocent people. But instead of doing nothing, they acted. Brethren, we don't need to do nothing. There are too many innocent people who are going to spend an eternity in hell because we do nothing. May God help us to actuate the strategy, to put it into practice, to say, I know this in evaluation, I will do this in formulation, but then to get up and to go and to do it. You remember what Todd Beamer said? Around 9:57 a.m., he asked the lady to pray with him. It's not a bad place to start. Because we can do all the evaluation that we want. We can spend all the time we want in formulating, but our activity will never be blessed if we don't ask for God's help. Will you pray with me for just a minute? Our Holy Father,
We know that the work you have given us to do is not our own, but it is yours. And Father, we pray that you will help us to do your work. Help us to not sit idly by while others are in need. Help us to determine that we will get up and that we will say something to those who need the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to look one more time in Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, what verse is it where God says to Ananias, arise and go? In the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, what verse is it where he says, arise and go? It's verse 11, isn't it? Acts 9:11. God says, are you ready, Ananias? Acts 9:11, God says to Ananias, let's roll. Notice the name of the book, Acts. They weren't sitting. They weren't just evaluating and formulating. They were moving. When 9/11 rolls around, there are all sorts of memories that we need to have. But when we pick up our Bibles, we need to have the memory of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And not sit idly by with that message, but to act, to take it to those who need it. To my brothers and sisters in Christ, let's stop sitting. Let's roll. Let's take the gospel to those who need it. If you're not a Christian this morning, if you've never been baptized for the remission of your sins, why not do it today? Why not make up your mind that you are going to join alliances with God? If God be for us, who can be against us? If you need to become a Christian today, or if as a child of God we can help you in any way, please come as together we stand and sing.